Father, we thank you again for this afternoon. We always love how you give us multiple opportunities in one day to hear your word and to teach and share your word. And so we pray that this afternoon you'll bless our time together in your word. Bless and favor us. Give us understanding. Take off some seals for us from this book, that we may benefit and be nourished in your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right. So, I'm still on my book. Amen. Yeah, these guys need a thorough sorting out. Amen. So we can understand them fully, and God will give us understanding and blessing. Amen. All right, so this afternoon I want to share hopefully from chapter 14 and chapter 15 together. Amen. You know, we usually just have time to share from one chapter, isn't it? But we're going to try two chapters this afternoon, isn't it? All right, so Mark chapter 5 and verse 1. So chapter 14, demons are territorial. All right, and we go to Mark chapter, the book of Mark chapter 5, and let's read this madman's story again. See, the more you read the story, the more you understand it. The more the scriptures open up, you see. Yeah, sometimes if you want to understand a Bible verse, just read it over and over and over again, and you'll get it. Amen. All right, but just before we go to this, let's go to chapter 11, verse 24, and go over our memory verse, the verse for the week, which is Mark 11, 24. And let's say that quickly. One, two, three, go. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Mark 11, 24. One more time. Mark 11, 24. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. One last time. Mark 11, 24. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Amen. All right, take it off, and then let's try it. One, two, three, go. Mark 11, 24. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. One last time. Mark 11, 24. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Mark 11, 24. Amen. Isn't it wonderful? It's a nice verse. So now we have about how many? Been learning about six of them. Six of them. Seven? We have seven? Okay. All right, when we get to 10, the person who is able to quote all 10 is going to get a special. Well, you want to put off your Makarios till then. It might be an easy way to get a Makarios. You just may never know. All right. Okay. I don't know what it will be. But we'll try it. Amen. And at the end of the year, the one who's able to quote all 52 of them. Wow. The one. A ticket to Healing Jesus campaign. That's what you would like for an award. Okay. All right. So a free trip to Healing Jesus campaign sponsored by Zola. Wow. expenses paid, everything sorted out. Yeah, and our millionaire Zola will sort that out for us. Amen. All right. It's a wonderful church, isn't it? Yeah. Okay. All right. So we're talking about territories, isn't it? Chapter 14. Let's just read together, okay? So Mark chapter 5 and from verse 1. Mark chapter 5, and we start reading together from verse number 1. It says, "And they came over onto the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had often been bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always night and he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him and cried with a loud voice and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Amen. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding, and all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Amen. Amen. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coasts. Amen. Amen. Right. Now, here let's read the book. It says, this very unusual request of the demons puzzled me for many years. Why did they say, don't send us out of this country? Amen. The demons could have requested more time to stay in the madman. They could have asked not to be cast out in the first place. However, what seemed to concern them was their need to stay in that same country, isn't it? So you can see how the demons besought him much. That means they begged him a lot, isn't it? They begged him, they pleaded with him, they probably went on their knees, they begged, they pleaded, they negotiated, they said, please don't take us out of this country. You know, take us anywhere. Do anything you want to do with us. But don't displace us. Don't move us out of this country. That means the demons loved their country. Isn't it? They, They were very patriotic, very nationalistic, you know, into their country a lot. And they did not want to relocate. Do you understand? They did not want to move to another country or move to any other place. Said, you want your man, we'll give him to you. Do you see? You want your man, we'll give him to you. But please, we want to maintain our flag. We want to stay in this place. Now it says, this teaches us an important lesson. Demons inhabit particular countries and do not want to move away. These particular demons lived in the country of the Gadarenes and they wanted to stay there. One class of demons described in Ephesians is principalities, isn't it? Principalities denote an evil influence that reigns over a territory. It is not difficult to see the influence of different kinds of spirits in different areas in the world. Amen. Amen. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. In Matthew chapter 12, the demons that were cast out declared, I will return to my house. Isn't it? Yeah. Unfortunately, demons have made certain places their homes. None of us would like to be dislodged from our usual habitat. Demons have usual habitats too. There are spirits of poverty which occupy certain parts of the world. You can see the dirty and impoverished roads and houses in areas where these evil spirits occupy. There is often no logical reason why these nations should be the way they are. The only explanation must be evil spirits. The spirit of war rests over certain parts of the world. The beginnings of the First World War, the Second World War, and the Serbian War, which have been three of the largest conflicts to hit the world, had something to do with the Serbian region. In Matthew 12 and 43, demons are described as needing resting places. Demons are also known to walk through dry places. So evil spirits need places where they are comfortable. A dry place speaks of a hostile and unwelcoming environment in which no rest can be found. These are places where demons have no rest. Amen. Now, as you can see, the lesson here this afternoon is aimed at making us develop awareness and consciousness of the nature of demons when it comes to places. That demons do live in places. Do you understand? And we can see how the demon clearly was begging. It's not so much that he didn't want to be taken out of the man, but that he didn't want to be taken out of the country. Now, when we combine that story with the account in Matthew chapter 12, about how demons operate. This is another teaching of Jesus Christ. See, this one is not a teaching. This one is a real thing that happened. And as it happened, we understand how the demons operate. But in Matthew chapter 12, what we find is a teaching by Jesus Christ. Look at it. Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. And if we start reading from verse 43. He says, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, this is a teaching. Do you see? He walketh through dry places. That means he goes to one place and he says, this place is dry. And he goes to another place and says, this place is dry. Then he goes to another place, says, there's nothing for me here. And goes to another place, says, I cannot stay here. Do you see what I'm saying? Because demons cannot stay everywhere. There are places that are more convenient for demons and evil spirits to be. So like we were sharing this morning, we're talking about if you, for example, have a place where your environment is charged with the presence of God, you will find that a demon that is on its way from somewhere, you see, which is looking for shelter. Do you get it? Yeah. You see, sometimes when you lift a box and you see a roach, it runs looking for the next shelter. Do you get it? Then it goes to hide behind something and realizes just a shoe. And when you come and you kick it, then it moves from there to the next place. Do you know what a roach is? Have you seen one before? Huh? Have you tried to kill a cockroach before? Yeah. You see that the cockroach starts to move around and it will move and try to hide here. Then it says, this place is dry. You see, then it will move to the next place. This place is dry. And moves to the next place, this place is dry. See, that is one of the reasons why you must have, you know, an anti-demonic environment. Because demons are actually all the time crisscrossing and finding places to rest. Do you understand? Yeah. And the fact that the demon is looking for rest, he says he walketh through dry places. What is he looking for? Rest. The fact that demons are seeking rest means that demons are not at rest everywhere. Do you see what I'm saying? It means that they cannot find rest in every place. Not everybody is a good host for evil spirits. Do you understand? Yeah. If you go to a place and you have someone who's hosting you and is a very bad host, you can't wait to get out of there. So some people don't make such a great host for evil spirits. Your prayer life, your word study, your constant soaking of messages all make you such a poor host for evil spirits. So the evil spirit wants to stay with you, but wakes up in the morning and bombardment of tongues. And then even when the tongue ceases, then some preaching takes over. And there are some people, even when they are not praying, they play a prayer. Yes. I was looking for that thing recently. If you have it, I'd like to have it. Yeah? Yeah? No, that prayer. There's a prayer. That's right. You see, and then there's also another one where Bishop is praying. Yeah? It's a long one. In fact, about 30 minutes. I can't find it. So if you have one, please. Yeah, send it to me. Okay. Yeah, there are some people like that. Even when they are not praying, they are playing a prayer. You get it? Now, if you have it, your life is like that. Demons are not likely to find rest around you. Do you understand? So they are looking for a place where they feel at rest. And just like all people, demons feel at rest in particular places where they call their home. That is the reason why, as he goes from here to here, to here, to here, and cannot find a place, then he resolves and said, look, I'm going back to my house. I'm going to try to get my house back. You see what I'm saying? Why is it that I have a house and I'm hustling and I'm moving from place to place? No way. I'm going back home. You get it? Yeah, even the prodigal son did that, isn't it? Yeah, after a while of hustling and trying to find rest and struggling. Oh, everybody, the Bible says he came to himself. Yeah. You see the thing. So the demon probably comes to himself and he says, listen, there is a place. You get it? There is a place where I used to be at rest. So I'm going back to my house. Hallelujah. So this particular part of the message, I think, is a very, very, very important part of the message. Amen. Because it helps you to understand what is required of you in order to flourish in a place. That when you are in a new place or find yourself in a new place, you better believe that what it takes to survive in that place may be different from what it takes to survive in the old place. Wow. That is why relocation is one of the common causes of backsliding in people. A lot of people backslide when they relocate. When they move from one country to another, or move from one city to another, even people change schools and they backslide. They become something they were not before. Do you understand? Because when you go into a new territory, it is likely that the principalities and the powers in that territory are different. Amen. They may be different. The forces you are up against will be different. That is why when we meet and we are praying and so on, I keep telling you that this is LA. This place is LA. You want to have a church here, you have to be tough. Do you see what I'm saying? You have to be tough. You have to be serious. And you have to be strong. You have to be relentless. Do you understand? You have to be prayerful. You must pray a lot if you're going to have a church in LA. That is the truth. Yes. You must pray a lot. Yes. Because this is the headquarters of entertainment. Do you understand? And if you read the book of Timothy, you see that the opposite of entertainment is loving God. It says people will become lovers of pleasure instead of lovers of God. Do you understand? So you will see that the opponent to loving God. Loving God means coming to church. It means being interested in God's things, being interested in God's house. It means the thing that takes its place. The opposite to that is that people love pleasure. Do you understand? People love having fun. People love just being entertained, watching movies, acting movies, doing different kinds, eating out. I mean, you go around and you see how many places there are where you can just buy food. Do you understand? It's an eating out culture in this place. Are you following what I'm saying? It's a type of place, and its character takes the form of the character of the principality that runs the place. Amen. Amen. So if you arrive from another place and you come to LA, you it's a champion of champions place. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yes. You have to be serious. You have to be serious. Otherwise, you will just fall off. You will fall away. You will find yourself overthrown. You will find yourself doing things you never did before. You will never even understand it. You will find yourself living a life you never even dreamt of living. You never associated yourself with such a life, and you find yourself doing that. Hallelujah. That is the way the place is. What makes it like that? It is the spirits that live here that make it like that. That is why the spirit said, look, we don't mind letting this man go because we have met a power. Because demons will succumb to a higher power. They will give up when they meet a higher power. As long as we stay anointed and stay powerful in Christ, demons will always bow to us. Do you understand? But when they bow to you, they just move out and start looking for the next person. They start looking for the next prayerless person and start looking for the next person whom they can overwhelm and overcome. Do you understand? They know they can't be everywhere. I tell you, the devil understands very clearly that he's not equally successful everywhere and also with everyone. He's more successful with some people than others. That is why the Bible says, as a roaring lion, he walks around seeking whom he may devour. Seeking the devourables. Who are the devourables? Who are the people I can have? Because he understands clearly that not everybody is within his reach. Amen. But he wants, by all means, to maintain his home and to maintain his base. So the demon said, I know, with this power, we cannot stand it. We're going to go out. We beg. We're going to go out. But leave us in town. You can have your man, but we'll find another one. Do you understand? We'll just find somebody else. You take your man. He wants to go to church. He wants to do all this. You just take your man. But leave us in town. And they besought him much. It must have been very important to them. Yes, it must have been very important to them. Because deportation is always very disturbing. Do you see? Especially when you didn't see it coming. Like this man. You see, the demons had no clue that that day was the day of eviction. They were leaving the man's body on that day. They made a mistake and gave him a small chance to go and worship Jesus. And then before they knew it, they saw that they were up against something very serious. So they had to fight for the territory. Hallelujah. So demons like territories. And if you travel around a little bit, you start to see that even from state to state, places are different. Isn't it? Yeah, city to city, you see that the places are different. You see that the character of the place seems to change, even from neighborhood to neighborhood. Isn't it? Sometimes you wonder, what is it that divides one street from another? Do you understand? Because the other street looks so much better. And it's the same neighborhood. So we're driving on some street the other way, I think the North Ridge area, and just going down the road, and beautiful houses, very serene atmosphere, very peaceful. And you just cross a street. It is like there is a spiritual barrier that we cannot see. Do you understand? Yeah. But when there is a gulf or some kind of barrier or demarcation, you know, it seems like in the realm of the spirit, you cannot cross over. Do you understand? Yeah. Because you wonder why they break into cars over here. But they don't do that over here. And there's less than a mile between the two places. And if you're a serious thief on the other side, you must be looking to expand your territory. You get it? So, I mean, it just makes sense to cross over to this place where this sort of crime is new and come and do it there. But no, you never see that, because the demon who inspires that understands that this is my territory. I can only do it up to here. I cannot cross this line. Hallelujah. I cannot cross this line. And so you see, that also explains why you can start to have certain problems when you go to a place that you didn't have before. Do you understand? Yes. Those of us who live here in America, for example, we are more prone to divorce. See, and when the thing happens so often, it becomes a culture of the place. And people explain it away as a cultural thing. And they say that, well, you see, but culture is simply when you do something for a long time, then that's your culture. It becomes your culture. It's not something that's handed from above. This is just the way you've been doing your things. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. So if Pastor Charles comes in every Sunday and he just comes in and puts his Bible down and goes to the bathroom, then drinks water and comes back to sit down. Do you see? Next Sunday he comes back, puts his Bible down to the bathroom, drinks some water and sit down. You know, then over a period of time, you can say that is his custom and his culture. Do you understand? That is why when Jesus went to his hometown, the Bible says, as his custom was. So it's just Sunday morning, he just went to church. Because that is what Jesus does no matter where he is. Are you following what I'm saying? So when people are doing something and do it over a period of time, we now say it is the person's custom or his culture. That's how they do it. But when you go behind the culture, we are talking about what is behind that culture. Do you understand? What is the inspiration behind the first act? You see, what is it that makes the person so restless that he always has to put his Bible down and just go and come and put it down again and just go every week doing the same thing that we call his culture? We expect him to do it. When he does it, we don't even feel offended. We don't feel surprised. We expect him to do it. Do you understand? Many people in America marry expecting to divorce. Oh, yeah. It's the plan. You get it? Yeah. And they arrange it such that, I mean, even arrange themselves, we're buying a house, this one is in my name, that one is in your name, you know, just to make the separation a little easier. Do you get it? Yeah, you keep your money, I also keep my money, you know, just to make things a little easier right from the start. That's your car, this is my car, that's your this is my dad. Yeah, even in the house, sometimes they can have, that's your bedroom, that's my room. Do you get it? Because at the marriage may not last as long as the mortgage. You get it? Because sometimes the mortgage lasts longer than the marriage. Do you understand? So as long as the marriage is good, we can share a room. But I mean, when the marriage fails, but the mortgage is continuing. See, the marriage can fail at a time when it doesn't make sense to sell the house. If you sell it now, you'll be upside down. You owe, which will make things more complicated for us. So there are couples who live together because it's financially convenient. You can't sell the house now. So right now, I'm going to move into the other room. See, that's why I told you, let's buy a house with two master bedrooms. Do you get it? Yes. It's a two master bedrooms. It's a preparation for the end. So that in case where one person stays upstairs, I also stay downstairs. And we just do the mortgage together, you know, you and I. If the marriage didn't work, it doesn't mean our money also must fail. So let's stay together. That is how it is. I mean, you hear about divorce so many times that even when you hear about it, it doesn't even occur to you that something unusual is going on. Do you understand? But you go to another place and you see that people stay married to people they didn't even choose. Yeah, they didn't even choose. They didn't even meet each other. Their father just called. You get it? The father called his sister, and the sister called the parents, and the parents called the daughter and said, "You come. Your husband has arrived. I found you a husband. This is it." And then that's it. And the marriage works. And the people are happy. Do you follow what I'm saying? Yeah. Then when you hear of such a thing, you say, "Oh, it's the culture. It's the culture. It's their custom," or something like that. It is a territorial spirit. Hallelujah. That is also the reason why sometimes you see poverty. It looks the same. When you go from place to place to place within the same general area, you see that poverty looks the same. In fact, you cannot tell that the cities have changed. Like this morning, I heard Bishop saying that if somebody was to blindfold you, like you close your eyes and they move you from one place to another and say, "Open your eyes," you could be anywhere. Do you follow what I'm saying? Because you may even have entered a different country. If just you're looking at the visual presentation of the place, you could very much be at home, or you've gone to a whole other country, but it looks exactly the same. Do you understand? Because the spirits that are behind those things are the same. They are the same. They are the same. People who have certain diseases, you see, the disease has the same symptoms. Do you understand? But it's easier to accept that, oh, it's the disease that goes with this symptoms. Do you understand? But when you read the Bible, you see that people who had a certain disease with a certain symptom, a certain spirit came out of them. And one boy who had such a spirit, his father actually explained, he said that when the spirit comes, he said the spirit seizes him and often throws him into the fire. Do you follow what I'm saying? He said when he sees fire, then he starts to manifest. Then the spirit throws him into it. So actually the signs and the symptoms of the disease are actually caused by the manifestation of the spirit. And not so much that the disease itself has the symptom per se. I hope you understand what I'm getting at. So it is very important for us as Christians to understand this. That is the reason why when you move into a new neighborhood, move into a new apartment, move into a new house, you need to pray and contend with the spirit that lives there. Amen. I always pray when I go into a hotel room. Do you know that hotels are very famous and common places for suicide? Yes, people die and kill themselves. I mean, a hotel is like a house that belongs to no one. That's how it is. It's a nice room that belongs to no one. So when you want to do something that will not affect anyone, that's where people go. So they go to hotels and they kill themselves. I've been to a hotel before where, you know, right just as we got there, somebody had done something like that, you know, and we saw the police coming. They won't tell you what is going on. They just the police, something. But, you know, one of the workers, he came upstairs and we asked him, and then he told us that somebody came here and did this. Yeah. Because they'll clean it up very nice. They don't want to spoil their business. Yeah. They are not in the business of saving people. They are providing sleeping places. Saving people is for us. Amen. Yes. Saving people is for us. So since that experience, anytime I enter a hotel room, I always look around and I'm just looking, what has been going on here? But you see, you cannot allow yourself to be haunted by such things. You must focus more on the power that God has given you. Do you understand? Don't look for the gems. Concentrate on what God has given you that takes care of it. Concentrate on the power. Concentrate on the prayer. Set up your atmosphere, Creator, and invoke the presence of God. Allow angels to come and fill the room. Make the place habitable for angels and spiritual beings and entities that God has released to come and be on your side. Do you understand? And after that, take your rest. Hallelujah. When you rent a new apartment, pray. When you go to a new school, pray. You need to pray when you enter a new school. Because the schools also are different. Do you understand that? They are different. There are different schools with different evil spirits that dominate a place. So sometimes you see a school has a certain, or is known for something. Like the other day, somebody was describing a particular school as being the party capital or something like that. It's like everybody in this school likes to party. Yeah. I don't think it's in their prospectus or something that this is, we are the partying school, and or whoever the principal is trying to make a school for parties. No. But an evil spirit comes to dominate and live in the place and starts to enter people and influence the people who come to school there. So you start to go to school there, then you start to take on the influence, and the influence causes you to take on the nature of the spirit that is in the place. And before you know it, you have become a lover of parties, always partying and always blowing time and always just doing all sorts of things that destroy your life. I think you understand what I'm sharing with you, right? You see, Bishop says this. He says, I believe that Satan does not live in Africa, but in Europe. Most Africans believe in God. Today in Europe, it is the Africans who fill the churches. That's true, even here in America. It's becoming like that. I believe that Satan has his seat, his place of greatest victory and relaxation in Europe. It is in Europe that deception is strongest. Most indigenous Europeans do not believe in God, in Christ, or even in the existence of the devil. How comforting that must be for Satan. Europe is a place where he can call home. Your home is where you lay down to rest. Your home is where you sit down to relax and feel safe. Do you think that Satan feels safe in Africa when meetings are organized to bind him? To bind him in almost every neighborhood, isn't it? I think you saw that video by that guy who said that there are times when you don't need no little, he said you don't need no cute American prayer. Yeah. You don't need no cute American prayer. You need an African to come and pray for you. Amen. Yes, and that's an American talking. You see, no, there's a time when you need an African to pray for you. You need someone who has learned how to pray. Hallelujah. And when you have an African who lives in America, and we're going to bring Africa to America by the grace of God, by the power of God. Amen. Look, become prayerful. Decide to become prayerful. Pray at all times. Yeah, pray even when you are falling asleep. You pray. When you remember that you are sleeping, you wake up, just continue. That's all. Just continue. Just. He thinks that he has knocked you out, but he'll be surprised. You see what I'm saying? He thinks he's knocked you out. He'll be surprised. Hallelujah. And you just continue. Decide. Take a decision. I'm going to be prayerful. And you need it. You need it because this is LA. You need it. You cannot afford to be a lukewarm person. You cannot afford to be some backsliding, wishy-washy Christian. You cannot afford to be someone who is in it sometimes, not in it at other times. You cannot afford to be that kind of Christian because it will overtake you. Something greater than you will overtake you. Do you understand? And it will take over your life. An influence that is negative and detrimental to your faith in the Lord is going to take over your life. Hallelujah. Amen. So learn to pray. Pray for yourself. Pray for your children. Pray for anyone that is connected to you. Make prayer a daily thing. Make prayer a regular thing. Multiple times every day. Amen. Pray a lot of times every day. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Pray a lot. Just pray. There's nothing that says that prayer has to be very long all the time. Sometimes you have to pray a short but very effective prayer. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. But when you get the chance, just say a word of prayer. When you get the chance, if you have the right atmosphere, you will find yourself walking in and out of prayer all the time. Wow. Yeah, you find yourself, you just catch yourself speaking in tongues. Just some moments where you speak in tongues and pray for just 2-3 seconds and then you just go off. Only God knows what that does, but it's valuable. Yeah. I believe it's valuable. Yeah. What do you think? Yeah. It is valuable. Yes, and let's pray. I think that as we continue to pray, we push down the forces of darkness. We push back on the forces of darkness. We push back on the works of the devil. We push it back. We mount a resistance against the devil, and it pushes his work back. Hallelujah. Amen. That is why we must not stop. Amen. He says, read... when songs are, do you think the devil can relax when people are so conscious that he's around? When songs are composed and chanted against you by thousands of people, you will not feel happy. Satan feels threatened in Africa. Read the words of a typical song in African churches. In the word of God, there is power in the name of Jesus. Every knee shall bow. Hey! These are the songs. Huh? Pastor Charles, you know this song? In the word of God, there is power in the name of Jesus. Every knee shall bow. Look, I used to know another one. We conquer Satan, we conquer demons, we conquer principalities, we conquer. Hey!
Just hallelujah, hallelujah.
It's another one. Send your mighty power, come down now. Oh Lord, come down now.
Send your mighty power,
come down now. Oh we know no defeat. We know no defeat. Jesus is our captain. You see Zola, she's laughing. Do you know these songs? These are power African songs. That's why the guy said, you don't need no cute American prayer.
Kept by the power.
Kept by the power of God. Kept by the power of God, day by day, come what may,
kept by the power of God.
Our God reigneth, let the earth tremble. Our God reigneth, let the earth tremble. Our God reigneth. That's the whole song.
Be happy.
So yes, we do have a problem, but it's a different problem. It's a different kind of problem, man. Hallelujah. How many understand what I'm... Let me just continue. I think it's a very nice chapter that's been written. Why don't we just finish reading it? Amen. Mm-hmm. The devil, as you know, is not omnipresent. He is in one place at a time. In Bible times, John identified the home and seat of the devil. He wrote a letter that revealed that Satan's home was in a city called Pergamos. John chapter 2 and verse 12. And to the angel of the church in Pergamos write these things, saith he which hath the sharp sword with two edges. I know thy works and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. And thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you, where Satan dwelleth. Wow. As you can see, the scripture tells us that Satan both lived and sat or was at ease in Pergamos. I believe that Satan's seat today is in Europe. I do not believe Satan is happy, or at least in Africa. There are too many all-night prayer meetings all over Africa. There are too many open-air crusades going on there. You see, even the fact that the word of God can be so freely preached is evidence. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. And in another place, you cannot. There are so many laws. I mean, look at us even this morning as we were having our church service. You get it? Somebody's coming, say, oh, the floor is vibrating. What do you expect? I mean, I don't understand it. See, you are above us and we are below you. We're having our church. We've paid for the place. Do you see what I'm saying? Yes, and it's a theater. It's a public place. And then as we are meeting there, you are coming from upstairs to come and tell us that, look, we should just turn off the bass and just say, you see, a certain even disrespect. You get it? Yeah, you see, this is the thing. Who is the Lord? Who is the Lord? Who is the Lord? This is it. A certain disrespect and disregard for what we are doing. Do you understand? Looking down on what we are doing, it's not important. It's like what I am doing, which is some kind of a seminar or whatever, that's more important. Do you understand? So what you're doing is taking away from what I am doing. Why don't you drop the quality of what you're doing so that my quality can stay the same? Do you see what I'm saying? A certain respect, even a tightness over the whole atmosphere. I tell you, if you don't become prayerful, you can't serve God properly in these parts of the world. You really can't. You have to defy traffic, defy distances. You have to defy tiredness and exhaustion. You get it? And Pharaoh and a lot of hard work and so on to get your Christian life in good shape and to keep it in top form all the time. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yes. You may have to drive miles and miles and miles to get to church. Yes, and finish and close and drive miles and miles and miles just to get back home. And get back home tired. I mean, you just drop your guard. You see the soldiers who go to war. When you see them sleeping, soldiers don't take off their clothes and bath and wear pajamas and all these type of things. I mean, people who are at war don't do that. They wear their boots and wear everything and get a place and just take a little nap. Just try to sleep a little bit because you are at war. And you know that you may be tired, but something worse than tiredness can happen to you. You see what I'm saying? Yeah, something worse than tiredness can happen to you. So you sit up and you try to work. And that is it. And the reason why many Christians backslide, many Christians are caught in immorality, many Christians are doing all sorts of things is because they don't understand where they are. They don't understand that there is a principality here that fights against worshiping God, that is trying systematically to sort of eradicate. Recently, someone sent me a picture. I think I sent it to some of you, where it says people were having a demonstration and having holding placards, and they said going to hell and proud of it or something like that. Did I send it to you? Oh, I can send it to you now. Alpak, post it. Post it on the on that WhatsApp for everybody. Post it on the LA one so everyone can see it. Yeah. Do you see what I'm saying? This, yes, that's it. Post it on there. You post it on the LA thing so everyone can see it. Yeah. No, LA, everybody can see people saying they are going to hell and they are proud of it. I don't think you can see this anywhere in Africa where somebody says, I'm going to hell and I'm proud of it. Ish. Are you following what I'm saying? Yeah. So where we dwell is a tight place. It's a difficult place. But by the grace of God, the Bible says where sin abounds, grace also abounds more. Do you understand? That is why when God wanted to deliver Lot from Sodom and Gomorrah, because of the evil nature of the place, he actually sent an angel to physically extract the guy. There. You see, where the worse the place you are is, the more grace God gives. Wow. Do you see? For surviving it. Yeah. Do you understand? God will go out of his way to do something extraordinary because of your extraordinary circumstances. Yeah. Because when you read the Bible, you don't see God sending angels to physically go. I stepped on something. Yeah. You don't see God sending angels to go and physically, like physically take somebody and grab the person. But that's what happened to Lot. Because that's the only thing it took to get him out of the place. Because Lot was not going. It's okay. That's, you all have the book, isn't it? Yeah. I don't need projector. Right? Listen, when Lot was asked to leave Sodom and Gomorrah, he didn't want to go. Then he eventually agreed to go. When they told his daughter's beloveds, they were laughing. Yeah. See, he was to them as one that mocked. Yeah. It's like this is a place where nobody takes anything seriously. So to make a simple announcement, ladies and gentlemen, the Lord is coming to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. It's not going to do anything. It's not going to make anybody move, anybody do anything. So God had to send angels in the form of men, you know. And when the men arrived in town, the people in the city came. They made a long line. You get it? In front of Lot's apartment complex. Long line. You think that they are just selling something. They weren't selling anything. They said, look, we all want to have a turn with these angels. That is how the place was. Very evil place. But when it's very evil, God's grace also is enlarged. That is why God will send. I mean, the Bible says when the angels literally, when Lot was even said he was going, the angel said he should flee to a mountain. So he's secure and far. Lot said, mountain is very far. Says, let me just go to the plain because it's near. I just want some place. Let me not do this type of thing. And the Bible says the angel seized his hand. Then the verse says, the Lord showing him mercy. Wow. Do you understand? It says, this the holding of the guy's hand to move out of the place is actually the Lord's mercy to him. Even the creation of the circumstance that makes him have to move out of the place is God's mercy to him. Amen. Are you getting what I'm saying? So Sam, God's grace multiplies when you are living in a difficult place. When you are living in a place where it's difficult to worship him, when you're living in a place where the environment is hostile, where people don't naturally serve God, where you look odd, even to tell somebody you're going to a church meeting, you look insane, you look like an idiot, you look like someone who doesn't have anything to do, even you tempt your boss to give you more work. Do you get it? Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Because that's what happened to that Pharaoh thing, isn't it? As soon as the people went to ask for time to go for retreat and so on, He analyzed the thing and he said, idleness, it produces inordinate desires and affection. And somebody would just wonder, why is he saying that? Can you believe what these guys, you said, did you meet those two guys outside? One of them is called Moses. What is his brother's name? Was it Aaron? His brother is called Aaron? Okay, well, some two guys just left this place. Moses and Aaron or Albert or some name like that. And they came here. They're asking to take time off for the Israelites to go and worship. When I ask how long, they say indefinite. Rubbish! Then he looked at her and said, I blame you. I blame you. You don't give them work to do. That is why they have such silly requests. So from now on, we are changing the work. We used to give them raw materials and they produce. Now they have to make the raw materials and give us the same in the same time. Yeah. Idiots. But you see, God's grace multiplies. He giveth more grace. He giveth more. So when you must also walk in this confidence that we live in a lot of grace. And a lot of things are possible. Do you understand? A lot of things that you think will harm you will not harm you. You understand? It will not harm you. Yes, drive and go to the place. Let's drive. Let's drive to camp meetings. We're even blessed that we have roads and cars. That you don't need any special car to go on a very long distance in this place. Yes, you don't need, because the roads are so car friendly. You just put any car on it, it will just go. Yeah, it will just keep going. Are you following what I'm saying? Take advantage of it, because one of these is we're going to be having another camp.
Amen.
Yes, we're going to be having another camp. Yes, and I'm expecting some of you to jump into cars and drive them, because it is grace that God has given to overcome what is here. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yes. That even though it's a tight, dry place, God has also allowed it such that you will have a car. I mean, you have a car. In another place, you will not have a car, please. Oh, Zola, you have a car. Do you understand? Kobe, you have a car. In another place, you will not have a car. Like you will not have a car. How old are you that you have a car? Yes. You will not have a car at all. In another place. So that you have a car, it's also what God has given, is one of the graces and helps that God has given. Do you get it? Look at Paul, you have a car. It's grace that God has given, so that going to live temporarily in Palm Springs will not kill you and dry you out. Otherwise, that would have been his end. But you see, from Palm Springs to church in Hollywood is how many hours? That's 2 hours every morning, every Sunday. So just drive 2 hours on the freeway and just come. And then just go back. You get it? In that little box. If you take a suitcase and you put tires under, you get Paul's car. Yeah.
It's a grace.
You see, it's a grace. It's a grace. As you walk towards your car after service today, call it grace.
Amen.
This is the grace of God right here.
Amen.
This is the grace of God right here. And God has given to me to be able to overcome, so that even Palm Springs is not a problem. Do you see that someone lives in Irvine? It's not a problem. You get it? That someone lives in, what's your name of your place? Ontario. It's not a problem. It's not a problem. That you can drive to any place and do what you have to do to worship God. One day I was going to visit somebody, and then I put the map, the GPS. And when they put the address and the thing came up, my house to the person's house, 80 miles. I said, hey, I'm just going to visit my ship a little bit. 80 miles?
Wow.
80 miles is like 100 and something kilometers, isn't it? That's, I'm just going to visit my sheep. Ah. Then I started. Started. That's 80 miles is door to door. You're not counting now the traffic.
Yeah, late traffic.
You see, and then I get in this car. Hey, you drive, you sleep, you wake up, you have dreams, everything on the road. Yeah, everything happens on the road. All the way to the place. Then you visit. When you finish, you get back in the car and you start to come. I say, hey, my church member. But it's grace. Do you understand? Even that you have grace, even that you have a car, or even that you can even afford the gas to be able to go to such a place and come back and still. That's all grace that God has given for overcoming what is also in the place so that it is possible. That's how come we can be here in Rancho having church. That's how come we can be here and have church here and have church at the other place and rush here and so on. It's all the grace of God that is given to us. Can I have an amen? So we must be aware of it and know that God has also given the grace for it. And we shall do well and we shall excel in this very place by the grace of God. Amen. Right, let's just finish it. What time is it? Let me see. Okay, so let's just finish this quickly and we'll close. Amen. It says, one day I was playing golf in Ghana when I heard people praying and shouting just outside the course. I said to my partner, Satan cannot live in Africa. Which golf course in Europe has a prayer group? Or a group of prayer warriors shouting and praying from the bottom of their hearts on a Monday morning. See, at another time in the night, I was coming home from a meeting and I put on the radio. It was midnight and there were two young men praying on the air. Hey, they were having an all-night prayer meeting in the studio. They spoke mostly in tongues and shouted their prayers to God from the bottom of their hearts. Their hearts. One groaned like a bear, whilst the other roared like a lion throughout the night. I thought to myself, the prince of the power of the air will not like this at all. I said to my wife, Satan can never live in Ghana. I knew that a program like this could never be aired in Europe. In the letter to the church in Pergamos, we learned that Satan had his seat there. This teaches us that Satan was actually headquartered in Pergamos. There are cities that are known for immorality. If you end up in any of those places, watch out, because the spirit of the city will be gunning for you. In Ghana, for instance, there are certain harbor cities which are well known for their immorality. Nigeria is well known to have spirits of corruption, assassination, and armed robbery. There are certain regions in Ghana that are known for their quarreling and cantankerous nature. Evil spirits of offense drive people in these areas to quarrel all the way into their graves without ever letting up. Never. I remember one person like that who died. And then he left in his will that if he had certain brothers he had quarreled with. And he said, if they make any contribution to his funeral, they should give it back to them. Wendy, what do you think? Hey, and it's not like the guy left money too. You see, it's not like he left a fortune to say that let's use some of the money to have the funeral. Yeah, there's no money. And then he has left a will that, yes, that if my brothers contribute to this funeral, to my burial, give the money back to them. Don't accept it. I don't want it. Quarreling. I mean, even if we meet in heaven or hell, we don't know each other. if we meet at the gates of hell, we will continue over there. Hey. Mercy. Some parts, it says, other sections are known for witchcraft and voodoo. It's other parts of the country. Some parts of the country are known for their violence and murderous tendencies. These are works of evil spirits which have lived in these areas for many years. There are even sections of the road which are inhabited by evil spirits. Spirits of accident and tragedy inhabit trees along the road. Many mysterious and inexplicable accidents have occurred at these spots. These are the works of evil spirits that dwell in certain geographical locations. Recently, somebody sent me a video where there was a tree and people had spotted witchcraft activity going on that tree at night. So you would see lights, you know, on the tree, like fluorescent lamps on the tree. When you go near there, it's off. From a distance, you can just see it. So they decided to pull the tree down. They brought a bulldozer to break the tree down. And the bulldozer was pushing and the tree was standing. And it was pushing and the tree was standing. Then it pushed and pushed and pushed. Then the tree started to give. The tree just went down, 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 down. Went down like that. It lay down like that. Then as the bulldozer was reversing, the tree just got up and stood again. Yay! I have to find the video and send it to you. Hey! Pastor Charles. The thing just went down like that. The bulldozer tried it a second time, push it down, and the tree will stand up. Push it down, and it will stand up. I tell you. because it's a territory. I live here. You cannot move me from here. It's like this is our conference room. You're spoiling it. But I tell you, we have power over all these spirits. Power over all the power of the enemy. That's what Jesus promised us. Hallelujah. Right? It says, spirits of, many mysterious and inexplicable accidents have occurred at these spots. There are works, you know, there are places that are noted for accidents.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. If you just joke in this area, something is going to happen to you. Yeah. Even they have intersections around here. They are not special. You don't see anything there because I've seen one like that before where there's nothing special there, but it's very well known for accidents. Yeah, people have accidents there all the time. It's here also. See, it's just that we are really good at cleaning up. You see, if an accident occurs here and you come back an hour later, there will be no sign or trace that there was an accident here. So our roads look a little safer. But I tell you, we have some very dangerous places and sometimes bloodthirsty spirits that are in these places claiming the blood of people. And it's so much easier to operate here because if you're in a place where people just find a logical reason for everything and that makes sense, a lot of things just go and pass under the radar. You have to be a spiritual person to know that even though there is this explanation, this also must be the reason. It must be what is going on. Amen. It says, these are the works of evil spirits that dwell in certain geographical locations. When you come into a new house, you must always sanctify it. Amen. So next time you move house, invite me to come and pray in your house. Amen. For having prayed in your house, don't live there. Yeah, move. They will come and anoint the place with oil and we'll pray over the place. Hallelujah. Yeah. And of course, it doesn't have to be me. You can also pray because you say, when he said that he gave the power, he said, all power is given to all of us. Amen. So anoint the place with oil and pray over the place and God will deliver you and protect you. Amen. For instance, a spirit of divorce may be dwelling in the house that you have just moved in. Inexplicable quarrels may begin to occur in your marriage after you move into that apartment. I have known of people who had happy marriages until they moved into certain countries. Thereafter, their marriages deteriorated rapidly. I said to a divorcee friend, perhaps you wouldn't have divorced if you hadn't come into this country. He said to me, I agree with you 100%. This would never have happened if I had stayed in my home country. He continued, in my country, divorce is unusual, but here, even pastors divorce easily. Whenever I enter a hotel room, I pray and sanctify it before I settle in. Sometimes I lay hands on the bed and cast out evil spirits. Huh, okay, I need to add this one to mine, because I never lay hands on the bed. Okay, spirits out of the ceiling. No one knows what has gone on in that room before I came there. When you move into a new physical location, it is your spiritual duty to assess what kind of spiritual presence pertains. Principalities love to dominate areas with their evil presence. Amen. So take this seriously. Okay, wherever you go and whenever you travel to places, don't just enter a place, and especially if you sleep and stay in motel style accommodation, motels. Motels in this country are used mostly for fornication. Yeah, it's used mostly, a lot of motels. Just even some of the places when you go, you see they've supplied all kinds of things there to show that this is a place for this. Do you follow what I'm saying? There are spirits that are in that place. And sometimes when you enter the place, you see the spirits start to minister to you. Yeah, they start to minister to you, start to make suggestions to you and start to... So it's a very important thing that you have to be careful where you're staying and try to dominate the atmosphere with your spiritual atmosphere creation. Everybody must learn how to create an atmosphere. Everybody must have... When I'm traveling, I have a whole bag that's just devoted to gadgets. You see, it's just I have different gadgets for different situations, I tell you. I just pull this from here, pull this from here, pull this from here, and I can have church any place, any time. Do you see what I'm saying? And everybody must invest in that. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah, now that you've bought your Korean hair, I think it's enough. You see, that it can work for a while. So next, buy an iPod or an iPad or some device, do you see, that can take a chip or something, and then get loaded with music, load some with prayer. So just have these things around you. It's not frivolous. It's not waste of money. You're not wasting your money if you buy yourself a little portable speaker. You see, a small speaker, small but very loud. Yeah. And then you put it in your room and you start to play it. As soon as you enter, you just set it up and you start to play the music. Amen. And you play. So one music, one preaching. So you need two. You need two things, not just one. Yeah, it's a good message, right? Yes. You don't need... I think the Lord went to buy something and he's in trouble. I suspect so. He went to buy something and Wendy has been giving him grief about it. So finally, pastor has come to. Amen. Yeah. No, seriously, you need something like that. Okay, there are many things you can get. A small something, you know, and get more than one. Because one of the things the devil can do is to knock out one. Easily. I tell you, you just see something you've forgotten. You didn't bring the charger for this. You're out. Yeah. So you must have alternatives. You must have alternatives. Have that. Your phone can play music, preaching. This one can play music, connect to this, and can also connect to this. Something like that. And you have them around you. And then depending on the situation, you pull out what is appropriate. And you start to work. And you will always be on top of the atmosphere. Yeah. Hallelujah. You will always be on top. You will always have the upper hand. You will always have the upper hand. No matter where you go, in the name of Jesus. Stand to your feet and let's bring the service to a close. Amen. Okay. So let's pray. Just bow your heads, everybody, and let's pray. Father, we are grateful to you for today. We thank you for your blessing. Thank you for teaching us. We are really grateful, Lord, for this book. Yes. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Everybody just pray. Pray in the Holy Ghost for a moment. Just pray. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Be determined to rule over the atmosphere where you live. Your apartment complex, your neighborhood, your school, your workplace. Be determined that you will ride above and dominate the atmosphere in those places. In the name of Jesus. Makabolo moshata balaba barabalaba shakatalaba ba. Bikolomo mo setelebe kenelebe katariyalaba baraba shindeya. Jesus. Makasu kotoriyalama mo shatariyalaba baya. Ilala barabalaba bo setelebe katariyalaba shandariyalaba baraba baya. Imolomo sokotoriala babush nerebelaba babashinda nabalaba baya ekolo sekere belemeshin ebele barabara barabara moshindia balaba barabara baba ye shekneriala bamosha katariala babarabara baba. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, makafara babara bashindia lababa mbe ekamolo setelebe shinderia lababara bashindelebe katare balababa. Imolo setelebe shetelebelebelebe kandaria la baba mbea. Ikolo mo setelebelebelebele me kandaria la baba rushandaria la baba. Ilo konuria la baba mebelebelebelebelebe kandaria la baba ya bara baba ya mono sandaria mbea. Ibolo shambala baba lo sekebelebe kandaria la baba rushataria. In the name of Jesus. You know, the kind of thoughts that occur to you when you are in a place is evidence of the spirits that live in that place. That is why in talking about our weapons not being carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, then one of the things our weapons does is it casts down imaginations. Because imaginations are expressions of demonic activity. The thoughts that occur to you when you go to a place, when you go to a hotel, you go to your house or go to your room by yourself or something, the sort of thoughts that occur to you, some people even have thoughts, kill yourself, end it all. These are all spirits that live in the place. And when a spirit of suicide lives in a place, you find that when you go there, it occurs to you, why don't you do this? Why don't you throw yourself down? Why don't you do this? It is the devil who came to Jesus and said, why don't you drop yourself from a height to the ground? Throw, he will give his angels charge over you. I want you to pray again. Pray especially concerning where you live. Pray against the evil spirits that live in your environment, in your neighborhood, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. The fact that it's a nice neighborhood doesn't mean demons don't live there. The fact that it's a nice workplace doesn't mean demons don't live there. The fact that it's a good school doesn't mean demons don't live there. Mashaka fataliba katariba kane. Ilo somolo mushanaria la baba kanaria la baba. Bikoro seke fere mene mene bikanaria. Ilo romo sataria la bashanaria la baba la baba. Imolo musoko fataria la baba la bashanaria la baba ya mashoko toria la baba. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for the grace you have given us to overcome the works of darkness. The power you have given us over all the power of the enemy. Thank you for the grace you have given us, especially here in LA, to live above the atmosphere and above the spiritual texture of the atmosphere and the place, in the name of Jesus. We pray, Lord, that you will give the same victory to everyone in their lives, in their homes, in their workplaces, at school. May they have victory. May the atmosphere not dominate and swallow them up, in the name of Jesus. Let the evil spirits in our children's schools, let those spirits be bound in the name of Jesus. And may their influence on our children be neutralized by the blood of Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus. And we pray, Father, that grace and angels will be with them. Same way you sent angels to rescue Lot, may you send angels to rescue us and to be with us and to protect us and to deliver us from all these evil and wicked presences, in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for your blessing, in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen.